Glory to Jesus Christ, Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East. Glory to Jesus Christ. I'm Father Thomas Loya. Welcome to Light of the East, and I'm here with our good friend, my assistant, Katie Goulis. Glory to Jesus Christ, Katie.
Glory to him forever, Father Tom. You know, Father Tom, before we begin today's show, I want to inform our listeners about a really exciting event that we have coming up here at Annunciation Parish on August 15th, which is a Saturday, and August 16th, which is a Sunday. We are having our second annual Prairie Fest. So on Saturday from 4 to 10 p.m. and on Sunday from noon to 6 p.m., we're going to have this wonderful fest, which includes great food, including lamb, ethnic food, and chicken. The Veselica Slovak dancers, they're going to be on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. The Bob Dozak Polka Band is also going to be on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. Backed by popular demand, the Harvest Moon Band will be here on Saturday from 5 to 10 p.m. There's going to be children's games both days. There's going to be a $5,000 raffle prize, plus other smaller raffles. There's going to be prairie tours and church tours, and of course, a wonderful bake sale. We have some tremendous bakers here, so we would really love it if you could all come out and visit our church and come participate in Prairie Fest. There's no cover charge. So once again, the dates are Saturday, August 15th from 4 to 10 p.m., and Sunday, August 16th from noon to 6 p.m., out here at Annunciation of the Mother of God Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois.
And for more information, you can go to our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, and just click on the events page, and we'll be updating that for everyone so you get all these details that Katie just mentioned. Sounds exciting, huh, Katie?
Definitely.
We call it a Prairie Fest because, as you can see on our website, if you go to the nature page, our church sits on 10 acres of property in a semi-rural area, which is known as Homer Glen, which is about 30 miles southwest of downtown Chicago. It's in the southwest suburb area, kind of near the what's considered the I-80, Interstate 80 corridor. And our property sits on 10 acres of semi-rural property, and many of those acres we have restored a indigenous prairie, a water management and sustainable environment system, where we replanted and allowed to grow and cultivated the original vegetation that God put here in this part of the world when he created this part of the world. And it's really something spectacular. It's an outdoor classroom. It's interesting all year round. It changes every day. There's lots of color, lots of birds and butterflies and bees. And it's something that we offer tours of all the time, but especially during this Prairie Fest. So that's why the theme is Prairie Fest, because our church sits on a property that is basically surrounded by an indigenous prairie. And it does wonderful things for the environment. But this is not just some kind of unique landscaping we did, nor is it just something that's part of a fad, you know, the whole going green fad. Rather, and we have admittedly taken a leadership role in there as a church. Rather, what you see on our property, as you can get a glimpse of on our website, what you see when you come on this property, hopefully when you attend the Prairie Fest, is that you see on the exterior, in God's creation, on God's land, in the environment, you see the same spirituality that you will see when you enter inside our church as it explodes before your eyes with floor-to-ceiling iconography and icon murals and icon screens and so on, the smell of incense and light, radiant light and shimmering gold. The same spirituality that creates what's inside the church creates what is also on the outside, because it is all about the same thing. It's about a fundamental liturgical way to look at life, which is very much the hallmark of Eastern spirituality. We're very liturgical, very sacramental people, very incarnational, mystical people, so that what we see in nature in the created order, we see it as revealing God. So it becomes an occasion, in a sense, for liturgy. In other words, to respond in offering, in gratitude and thanksgiving, and to see that it is all beautiful. So we like to make things beautiful. We like to allow beauty to sing, to live, to flourish. And that's what we've done on our property, and that's what we've done inside of our church as well. So you can kind of get a glimpse of this by wandering through our website, but also, most of all, attending our church and visiting. We're open all the time, every day, 7 days a week. So if you're in the area, if you know anybody is coming in the area, stop by. We get visitors all the time. They come to tour our prairie. We give talks and tours, and they also come to see the inside of our house of God. So again, that a special opportunity is August 15th and 16th. Go to ByzantineCatholic.com to find out more about it. Click on the events page. We'd like to thank all of you, as always, for your letters and your donations. And we got a very touching donation this week, didn't we, Katie?
Yes, we did, Father Tom.
From our friends, our brothers D and M, who are prisoners serving time in a facility in Corcoran, California. And it's really quite touching that something like this would come from them.
Yeah, definitely. Because you think about prisoners, they don't really have a lot. They, you know, have their lives taken away from them in a certain sense. They're not allowed to participate as much in the outside world. And yet they're so giving with this gift to us. It just really is touching and means a lot.
Yes. And we really thank you for really sincerely, brothers D and M, that's abbreviation for their name. Brothers D and M, they know who they are. And they're from Corcoran, California. Some of our great, great faithful listeners. Above all, we thank you for listening. That's what means the most to us. Naturally, yes, we absolutely do need donations to stay on the air. Any kind of media work these days is very expensive, but most importantly, we want to know and like to find out that you're listening, that you're hearing the message of the unique gifts of the Eastern Christian churches. So once again, brothers D and M, thank you. And also, thanks to some other men who are serving time. One of those is Ken, and he is in Centralia, Illinois. And Ken writes to us, and he has a couple of requests from me, which I will try to comply with, Ken. Glad you reminded me of them. You wrote to me before. But also, you especially wanted some of our CDs of our choir, the choir music you hear on this program, which comes from, proud to say, my own parish, Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois. So we'll get those CDs out to you. And thanks so much again, Ken, for writing to us from Centralia, Illinois. But also, we got a letter, once again, from a friend of ours, Gary, who is also serving time in a federal correction institution in Milan, Michigan. And Gary's got a few questions. He has a number of questions, some of which we've answered before, some of which we still haven't answered thoroughly yet. He's got some new questions too, which is great. It's good to hear and find out that people are thinking and reading and praying and learning about their faith, wherever they are, whether they're in prison, whether they're out at home, in the workplace, wherever. So what does Gary ask us?
Well, Gary asked Father Tom, why is leavened bread the bread of choice to be used in the Eucharist as opposed to the unleavened host of the Western Church and the unleavened matzah of Passover? Since the Lord's mystical supper was a Passover meal or Seder meal, he most likely used matzah to bless, break, and share with his apostles.
Very good question. Why in most of the Eastern churches we use a leavened bread, and in the Western churches, primarily the Latin Rite Church, they use the flatter bread, or the unleavened bread, the wafer, as it were. Well, first of all, the bread that we use in Eastern churches, it is a leavened bread, and it's actually a loaf. And that loaf is made very simply. It's made simply from flour, water, and yeast. And for those of you who bake, and this is always a difficult one for the ladies of the church, whenever they want to bake the communion bread and they volunteer to do that, I always have to tell them, you have to almost like unlearn some of what you know as baking bread, because you almost have to, what we might consider, underbake it, as it were, because it has to remain in a certain consistency. It has to be very solid. It can't break apart, and has to be sort of on the moist side, in a sense. In fact, when you're done with it, it actually looks more white than it does like a baked bread. So once the lady get used to that, then everything's fine. But it's very simple. However, as the bread is rising, a stamp is put onto the bread, a mark is put onto the bread, and that mark is a cross. And in the four corners of the cross are the letters I-C-X-C-N-I-K-A, which are Greek abbreviations for Jesus Christ Conquers, Jesus Christus Nika in Greek. And that emblem, and there are other emblems too. Sometimes there's iconographic scenes that are stamped on there with a very elaborate stamp. It's usually a wooden stamp, and they stamp the bread as it's rising, and it imprints that image on there, that cross with the letters of Christ's name. And that part that is stamped is the part that, technically, that's the part that is consecrated from the entire loaf, and that part is called a lamb or aknetz. That becomes the Lamb of God. That will become the body of Christ. It is actually cut out from the rest of the loaf in a rite of preparation which occurs prior to the beginning of the Divine Liturgy. And that rite of preparation was done in a separate building centuries ago, and then the gifts were brought into the church at a certain point in the liturgy in a very elaborate procession, which is why to this day it's called the Great Entrance. Today that some of that is truncated a bit, but the essence is still there. So the bread is brought in, and it is, prior to being brought into Divine Liturgy, it is prepared usually just in a side table that's in the sanctuary, you know, where the main altar is. It used to be, as I mentioned, in a separate building. But it used to be prepared by the deacon. Nowadays, it is prepared by the priest primarily, with the deacon assisting. And there's a whole rite of preparation that goes on with the bread, but also with the wine and the water that will become the body and blood of Jesus Christ during the liturgy. So this whole elaborate rite of preparation using this leavened bread. And we're going to explain to you why the Eastern Churches uses the leavened bread rather than the wafer when we return. So please stay with us here. You're listening to Light of the East.
In order to continue Light of the East's mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wheelcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wheelcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. Light of the East will return in a moment.
The monks of Holy Resurrection Monastery, located in the deserts of Southern California, together with their sisters, Holy Theophany Monastery in Olympia, Washington, are dedicated to restoring traditional Eastern monasticism in the Catholic Church in contemporary America. The monks also serve the Church through their Anastasis Project, an ecumenical ministry dedicated to bringing Catholics and Orthodox together so that, in the words of Pope John Paul II, the Church may truly breathe with two lungs. You can learn more about the monasteries and their work, including how to support this vital ministry, by visiting www.hrmonline.org. www.hrmonline.org.
You're listening to the choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. All we ask is a donation of $15 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
The Tabor Life Institute, which is dedicated to the formation and education in the theology of the body. To find out more about the Tabor Life Institute, you can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Especially if you're interested in conferences and retreats, in particular for youth, young adults, and also for those of you who speak Spanish. That's taborlife.org.
the Daughters of St. Paul sponsor a monthly study group on the theology of the body. The discussions are led by Father Thomas Loyal.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Every second Wednesday during the month at Pauline Books and Media, 172 North Michigan Avenue in Chicago, from 6:30 until 8 p.m. The presentation is also streamed live online.
As you know, we are concerned about the sacramental liturgical worldview as delivered by John Paul II's Theology of the Body.
For more information, call 312-346-4228. And now, back to Light of the East.
Well, thank you for staying with us here on Light of the East. And if you just joined us, we give you our greeting. Glory to Jesus Christ. We're answering some questions from one of our prison listeners, Gary, from Milan, Michigan, who's got a whole load of great questions for us. He was asking the question about why the Eastern churches, by and large, use a leavened bread for the Eucharist. And I was giving a little background about that bread, but now more directly to the question. Answer is, we don't know. We really don't know why. We do have some symbolism attached to it. I think it has to do, and some of the liturgical scholars I talk to say that it's just a matter of the definition of bread. What does bread actually mean to different cultures? And bread in the East meant basically a little bit of yeast, a bit of water, and a little bit of flour. And it's made into a loaf. But along with that comes some theological or allegorical symbolisms and explanations, such as the fact that leavened bread, of course, rises. And the liturgy, ultimately, in the Eucharistic liturgy, especially in the East, the strong emphasis of that is of the resurrection of Christ. In other words, his rising. So the bread that will become his body also physically rises in his character when it's being made. Also, during the rite of preparation, that bread is cut out of the loaf, the part that will be consecrated. And this is symbolic of two things. First of all, Christ's birth coming from the virgin womb, and also, again, his resurrection coming from the tomb, as we say, like a bridegroom from the bridal chamber and filling the women with joy. So there are a couple of allegorical explanations to why we use the leavened bread. As I mentioned, the bottom line reason is no one really knows exactly. It's just the way that the two lungs of the church developed. Also, in the East, the emphasis on the Mass, or the liturgy as it were, is not so much on a supper or meal. It's a little bit more emphasized like that in the West, the Passover meal, the sort of the re-entrance, reincarnation as it were, of the reliving of the Paschal meal. And so there's a strong emphasis of supper or meal as it were in the Latin rite, the Western experience of Eucharist. And so they want to make it closer to that original Passover meal, and they use, therefore, the unleavened bread, as is used in Passover. In the East, the emphasis was less on the supper itself and more on the liturgy as a sacrifice or offering, or if it was a supper, it's called a mystical supper. So the exact details, as it were, of the actual Passover are a little less emphasized, or they're seen as more mystical. In other words, it's more of a mystical approach to them. They kind of take what happened at the original Last Supper and in the Passover, and they kind of take that and emphasize its mystical meaning. In other words, what it ultimately will point to, and that, of course, will be the eschaton. In other words, the last things, the final destination, the summation of all things in heaven with Christ, of which the Divine Liturgy is a participation in on this earth. So since there was a little bit of a different emphasis in the East, they used a different kind of bread. They used a leavened bread. So these are just some of the reasons and some of the history behind the bread used at most of the Eastern churches in the Divine Liturgy. This is not an exhaustive explanation, but hopefully it has helped a little bit, Gary, because I know that you were asking these questions in preparation for an apologetic session you're going to have at the prison, which is really admirable. Your letter came to us after the date of that, but hopefully our answers will still be helpful to you. Now, you had another question, Gary, another great question.
Gary writes, in the Roman Catholic Church, extra hosts which are consecrated and the Holy Eucharist remaining after communion are reserved in the tabernacle to be distributed to the sick or shut-ins by a deacon, priest, or lay minister of the Eucharist, and also the pre-sanctified hosts are distributed to the faithful in communion prayer service, such as most of ours, he writes, when a priest isn't present. The body of Christ in the Eucharist is also venerated during the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and benediction, If memory serves me correctly, in the Byzantine Church, any leftover Eucharist bread is consumed by the priest, deacon, and the faithful following the final blessing and adoration of the cross during the ending of the Divine Liturgy. The only times that the Eucharist bread is reserved is when there will be the liturgies of pre-sanctified gifts, correct? Are Eucharistic adoration and or benediction of the Blessed Sacrament prayed in the Eastern liturgies, or is that just a practice of the Roman Catholic Church?
Some more great questions, Gary. Thank you. All right, to answer them, hopefully simply, the Eucharist at the end of each liturgy in the Byzantine Church and many Eastern churches is consumed, first of all, for very, very practical reasons. You see, the way we distribute the Eucharist is we take the consecrated leavened bread, and since it's leavened, you know, it has a thickness to it, so and it's actually cut up into what we call particles, so that it can be distributed to the faithful for Holy Communion. Well, those particles are on a discos, a dish with a stand on it during the liturgy, and they're consecrated at that time after they've been prepared at that rite of preparation. And then at a certain point in the liturgy, the priest takes those particles, or the deacon, and he pours them into the chalice with the consecrated wine, in other words, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the bread and the wine are put together in the chalice, which means that, of course, that the bread is going to be soaked in the precious blood or the wine. So you can't really leave that out. You can't really put that away. You have to consume that. Whenever we want to have Eucharist in reserve, such as in the tabernacle, as in the Lateran Rite Church, what we do is we cut the particles up and pre-dry them, as it were, and then they're consecrated. That way, and they're not put into the chalice with the precious blood of Christ. They're consecrated and dried out ahead of time, and then they are put into the tabernacle, and they'll stay in reserve there for, you know, basically indefinitely, because it's like dry bread. It's completely dried out, so it does not mold or anything, and it's not united with the consecrated wine. And you're right, we do this only during the times of the pre-sanctified liturgy, and also the priest does it too, to have a supply of the consecrated particles, the body of Christ, on hand for sick calls, and or in a case of running out of particles during the liturgy, which is rare, but it does happen. But no, we never go to the tabernacle during the liturgy, you know, during our Mass, as it were, which we call liturgy. We never go there to get Eucharist to distribute, unless we've run out of it in the chalice. That's always kept in reserve in the tabernacle. No, we don't have benediction or adoration of the Eucharist in the Eastern churches. Per se, we don't have that. However, we do have things that are somewhat reminiscent of that. One of the reasons we don't have the Eucharistic adoration as is in the Western Church, which has become very popular and very developed, nor do we have benediction, is because the emphasis of the Eucharist in the East was always very strong on not so much looking upon it, but rather receiving it. So there wasn't as much of the sort of the looking upon the Eucharist as it's exposed and meditating and praying in its presence. There wasn't that kind of devotion in the East because of this emphasis on Eucharist being received and consumed, as it were, becoming part of you. With that said, however, in our liturgy, when the Eucharist is distributed, the chalice is brought back to the altar, placed on the altar by the priest and deacon after distributing the Eucharist to the faithful. And then the priest takes the censer and incenses the gifts three times, saying, "Be exalted above the heavens, O Lord, and let your glory be over all the earth." And he repeats that three times and censes it. And then he turns back to the people, raises up the chalice and says, "Blessed is our God, always, now, and ever, and forever. Amen." Then he returns the chalice to that table of preparation where the gifts are totally consumed then, either by himself or by the deacon. So in that moment, when the priest is incensing the gifts, in one sense, it's a kind of a benediction, as it were. It's certainly paying a great honor, a great reverence to the Eucharist, even after we have received it. The other time is during the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts. There, it's an entire liturgy that is exalting the Eucharist. We actually bow before it. We prostrate before it. We carry it in procession in absolute silence. So there's a very, very elaborate Eucharistic adoration, as it were, or benediction, as it were, in the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts in the Eastern Church. But aside from that, we don't really have the custom of the adoration of the Eucharist or of benediction per se as in the West. And having said that, remember, whenever we compare the two churches, we're not saying one is better than the other. Both have their respective gifts and geniuses, and we both need each other. It's very admirable for me to see the popularity, the rising popularity of the customs of benediction and Eucharistic adoration in the West, because those are very reverential customs and devotions in the West. They were kind of lost a bit for a while. They seem to have come back. And where they have come back, those parishes, those communities seem to be richly blessed. So it's a great gift of the Western Church. And of course, the Eastern Church has its corresponding gifts as well. Well, we do want to thank you for listening and also for your questions and for your letters. Especially want to thank Gary for all his great questions today. We love hearing from you, and we hope to have you listening to us again here on Light of the East. God bless you. I'm Father Thomas Loya with Katie Goulis. Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To find out more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue this program with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount would be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610, Will Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610, Will Cook Road, spelled W-I-L-L-C-O-O-K, Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God bless you and grant you many happy years.